You are listening to Know You're Crazy. My name is Susan Dene. We all have crazy. What separates us is how we choose to deal with it. I'm going to be delivering engaging and actionable tools to own your crazy, treat your crazy, and turn it into your own superpower. I hope that you walk away from this show feeling the power and strength within you. And never forget to enjoy your journey because you are worth it. Hey everyone, welcome to the Know Your Crazy Talk Show. My name is Susan Dene, and I am talking about emotional recovery in the raw. Today's episode is all about relationships, and I'm talking about intimate relationships primarily, although we will be covering a variety of different types of relationships that we do engage in life. You know, I just got to tell you, I'm sitting in a hotel room. I'm live from Nebraska, North Platte. I'm here visiting my mom. My husband's in the room with me this evening, and what appropriate timing. I kind of ran by him. I'm like, you know, I'm going to be talking about this a little bit. Are you okay with that? And we had to reach an agreement. And although I figured I knew the agreement, I wanted to speak about that agreement to him. And why would I speak about that agreement to him was to make sure that we were on the same page and I didn't just take the lead, assuming I thought I knew what was okay. Why am I passionate about agreements today? You know, I'm passionate about agreements today because, you know, there's something Carl Jung, he said that in one of his books, he wrote, in order to help people, you must be inspired by those you are helping. And I recently have had the opportunity to coach a couple, and they are inspiring to me. Their willingness to talk about the relationship, they're doing it early on in the relationship. They're getting things out on the table that they both have acknowledged might be a little bit uncomfortable moving forward. And they're bringing this vulnerability and this honesty and this grace up front before the relationship takes off. One of the very first things that when we sat down to talk was I got out on the table agreements. And there's all kinds of agreements that we make with those in our lives. And to start out the show, I'm going to be talking about three key agreements. We've got spoken agreements, we've got silent agreements, and we have assumed agreements, which I guess kind of falls in the silent agreements. But let me give you a couple examples. I'm going to start out with assumed agreements. Like, for example, you and your partner, or you as an individual, if you're single and you jump into a relationship, you might just assume the other person and you both agree that a roof over the head is a good thing, natural need. You know, we talk about shelter. That might sound a little trivial for me to be talking about that, but that would be an assumed agreement. You both assume that a roof over your head is a good idea. Therefore, you never have to talk about it. It's just an assumed agreement. Another assumed agreement might be that you start dating someone or you're in a relationship that's been going on for a while, and it's just assumed that you both like spending a lot of time together. That's an assumed agreement. There may not have been a previous conversation about how much time that is. It's just an assumed agreement. Maybe another assumed agreement that would seem like common sense is that you both agree that a sense of humor is a good thing to bring to a relationship. It brings a sense of lightness to serious situations. Common sense, it would seem, if we all sat down in a circle and said, what do you think about a sense of humor in a relationship? We would all agree that that is a good idea. It's an assumed agreement, not necessarily talked about. Those type of agreements, those examples I just gave you, they're pretty non-threatening agreements. You know, it's you wouldn't think that you would lose your mind over that, especially if you're new to a relationship. They're just assumed agreements. Now let's talk about a spoken agreement. You know, let's say you're in the pink cloud of the relationship, and you're in that romantic phase, or let's say you're somebody in a relationship where you feel that you have really good communication. You might both have a discussed agreement that, let's say you have agreed that you don't want to live together for the first year of the relationship. That's a talked about agreement. What I have found in helping others and in my own personal life, that some spoken agreements are easier to have than others. Another spoken agreement is maybe we do or we don't want kids in the, you know, especially if you're an older adult. When I say older, you're probably like in your late 30s, 40s. Maybe you've never had children or you have your own children and now you're single. Maybe you don't want to help raise somebody else's children. You don't want to start over type of thing. Maybe you are in your 20s and you think to yourself, I really don't want kids. Usually that's a spoken agreement with the other party, because quite frankly, if they don't agree to that, you're probably, I mean, you know what I mean? Like the relationship isn't going to go very far. So there are some spoken agreements that are easier. Another spoken agreement might be everybody brings to the table that, hey, a great sex life is really important. Let's say this is a real big spoken agreement in the beginning of a relationship when, you know, everything's firing on all cylinders. We're excited to see each other, you know, You're immediately turned on when you see the other person. There's like a spoken agreement that a great sex life is the best thing possible. Common sense would seem to tell us that that is also the case. Real life tells us that a great sex life can be temporary, depending on how long you've been in the relationship. Okay, next one, before I go too far down that tunnel, unspoken agreements. These are the agreements that are not talked about, that sometimes we don't find we are holding the other party responsible to. We haven't had a lot of discussion around it. It might be a topic that personally we are uncomfortable having, beliefs and values that came with us that we don't necessarily talk about. Abuse, for example, let's say just the word abuse. Somebody might have an unspoken agreement that abuse is not acceptable. One person might be thinking that physical abuse is not acceptable, but there's an unspoken agreement that name calling is tolerated. Okay. There are unspoken agreements that are made in a relationship, which usually is going to come from, you know, whatever's been going on in our lives prior to coming to the relationship today in the present. Another unspoken agreement might be, this one came up recently in someone I was helping. What is the definition of a below the belt shot? And the reason, I'm going to go a little bit further on this one, because this one came also from my personal life, which is how it, you know, kind of came present recently, not in my life, but in a coaching couple's life. The long time ago, many, many years before I even reached 20, I was in a relationship that, let's just say, wasn't too positive. And the other partner, he tended to make below the belt shots. I would call this name calling, accusations. I find it as abusive. But my definition of below the belt shots may be different than somebody else if we're just now starting to engage in a relationship. Somebody else might figure, you know, I don't even know, a tone of voice or a name calling would be a below the belt shot. You know, somebody else may have a different definition of that, because along with our own beliefs and our values that we bring to a relationship, we also, I'm going to so hit on this today. We also bring our past behaviors. You know, I was driving in the car the other day, might have even been on the way here. And I was thinking about how usually a relationship will run into roadblocks when a certain behavior is toxicating. Is that even a word, toxic? Toxic to the relationship. One of the parties, and we all have behaviors that, trust me, that aren't pleasant, that we get to iron out in our years, right? And usually the universe or people are going to give us a lot of feedback about which behavior is appropriate and which behavior is not appropriate. But I was thinking about behaviors and the power that a negative behavior can have in a relationship in doing significant damage. So if one of the partners has a behavior that is absolutely explosive, maybe explosive is a good word to use, passive aggressive to an abusive level maybe, and then the other partner tends to be highly tolerant, sometimes there's an agreement that's going on. And the agreement is this: the person with the explosive behavior may have, you know, there's an agreement that, yeah, silent agreement that my explosive behavior is not healthy, but it's just me. So I'm not going to talk about that. Because if I talk about that, it would mean that we'd have to actually look at me and this behavior. And really at the core, it's quite embarrassing. Okay. Explosive behavior impact on the other person. Their silent agreement in that would be, if I point this out, will this person go away? If I point, or the silent agreement is, I just need to learn how to deal with this. And once I figure out, it's not, you know, nobody can make me feel this way. I'm responsible for my own feelings. So therefore, I don't really need to talk about this. I also like to call that avoidance. So I was thinking about behaviors in relationships and how they impact our partners. Sometimes, whether the agreement is spoken, unspoken, agreed upon, or whatever, there is a behavior that's really impacting the relationship that needs to be addressed. And that agreement is lying in the in-between lines of that, okay? So what got me started on this agreement? So I'm working with this inspiring couple. They're doing the type of deep work with one another where they're really having to get honest and talk. And they're in the beginning, there are sometimes surface agreements that we make. Like for example, one partner may want to spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week together, right? This will also, say, can be very characteristic of a couple who's getting together in their later years, right? So they've established a lifetime of patterns. They've established a lifetime of routines. They brought friendships into the relationship, family relationships into the relationship. They have their own routine. They might be in their own path with their own dreams, their own passion. You know, as we get older, sometimes, you know, you've heard the words midlife crisis. I like to call it a midlife awakening, where we realize that the old values and beliefs that we've been carrying with us are no longer serving us. So one partner, especially if the dating scene is starting later on in the years, might, you know, we're bringing all of that. So one partner might be really in the midst of having this beautiful relationship come into their life, but they're also having a midlife awakening. And so the agreed upon time spent together ends up being on different pages. And so and I'm going to wrap this up before we go to break real quick, or I go to break, but the real agreement then that can be unspoken over a period of time is how much time we spend together. So what would happen if it's not talked about? What would happen if it was just assumed? Okay, let's get into the silent assumptions. It was just assumed that because most people label a healthy relationship as wanting to spend a lot of time together, that there's a belief system that we're not talking about, or the relationship is not talking about. One person wants to spend 24/7 together, and the other person wants 50% in the relationship and 50% in their personal time, but it's never talked about. What happens? You end up having a silent agreement, and there's emotional pressure on both ends, and there's resistance. One constantly feels rejected because the other one doesn't always want to hang out. The one who doesn't always want to hang out 24/7 starts to feel imposed upon. My personal time's being impacted, but nobody's talking about it. I'm going to leave you with this question before I go to break. If you are in a relationship right now and you are feeling any sense of challenge, and it doesn't have to be a lot of challenge, it might just be something that you're finding some irritation with your partner on a regular basis. When I say regular, maybe it's 2% of the day, it's not 100% of the day, but it's consistent irritation. The question for you, is there a silent agreement that you and him, or you and her and her, I don't care, are making in the relationship that is causing the irritation to continue on a regular basis? Is there a silent agreement that's going on that's not being spoken about? You might have to dig a little bit deep to get to the bottom of that. But think about it, because when I come back, we're going to be going into the next phase of the show, where how do we discover the agreements? What do we do with the agreements? How do we have appropriate communication with our partner? and all of the good stuff that comes from that. All right, so we will be back. Please join me. This is the Know You're Crazy Talk Show. My name is Susan Denae. We are talking about love agreements and how to have a satisfying love life and intimate engagement.
Take control over your future. I'm Lisa Belts, and I'm here to help you realize your true potential and become unshakable. Schedule a completely free introductory coaching session with me now to see for yourself how I work. Get the divine guidance that you need to transform your life for the better. Go to lisabelts.com and take that step towards transformation. That's LYSABELTZ.com.
Oh, self-care can be so much fun. And it's not just about bubble baths, but instead about prioritizing the wholeness of who you are without it taking a lot of time out of your day. I'm Claudia Sam, your Soul Connection Coach, host of the Be Happy Now show. I invite you to put yourself at the top of the to-do list without guilt. Join me in the Soul Connector Circle community. Get daily pocket coaching and support to stay on track. Go to soulconnectorcircle.com and use the discount code RADIO.
Heaven on Earth, your online school of divinity, building your inner coach as you lay down your foundation in the new earth with you as the authority. Take action now. The number one challenge people face every day is the negative voice in their head. We work each day to turn negatives into positives. It's all a matter of perception. Our challenge at this time is to remain intensely positive and focused, creating the world we wish to live in. Wake up on purpose with Cornelia's daily online positive messages guiding us in the new paradigm. Raise yourself into happiness and inner peace daily. Elevate your personal frequency, free from negativity, and reprogram yourself step by step, shifting your energy patterns with positive repetition, daily building your new earth with someone you trust. All the heavy lifting has been done for you. Wake up happy with CorneliaStephanieVIP.com. Try free for 7 days now.
Are you struggling with truly being happy in life? Do you often question who you really are? I'm Tracy Lynn Wallace, a self-love mentor and life coach who can help you identify and access subconscious blocks to move you into a place of freedom, success, and happiness. Visit inspiredwisdomcoaching.com to sign up for my VIP list and get updates on my exclusive workshops so you can awaken your magic within. That's inspiredwisdomcoaching.com.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Know Your Crazy Talk Show. My name is Susan Denae, and I am talking about emotional recovery in the raw. Today's hot topic is love life agreements, the agreements that we make in our intimate relationships, the relation and other relationships, but I'm primarily focusing on intimate relationships today. In the first part of the show, I was sharing about the three different types of agreements that we make, agreements where either they're silent agreements, they're ones that the couple have created. It's causing rift in the relationship, but no one is really technically acknowledging that there's been an unspoken agreement because that's not what we would call it. That's not what we would call it. We would just go day in and day out and feel miserable or overly responsible for a behavior or in denial of a behavior that's toxic to the relationship. We would just go on and on and on about it, and we don't really realize it. And honest, I truly believe that each party in that is doing the best they can. I do believe that. So there's silent agreements. There are spoken agreements. For example, you get in the relationship in the very beginning, and you have this fantastic conversation about the future, and a spoken agreement is both parties agree that they don't want children. That's a pretty big agreement to get out on the table in the beginning of a relationship. That would be a spoken agreement. Another spoken agreement might be that a sex life should be awesome in a relationship. In the beginning of the relationship, that's a spoken agreement. Both parties likely desire a fantastic sex life. And the definition of that sex life is where maybe it gets a little sticky, but both people would agree. And mostly in the beginning of a relationship, we talk about it more. What would be an assumed agreement? Third part is assumed agreement, where, you know, everybody just assumes a roof over your head is a safe thing. You know, everybody assumes that abuse is not, should not be in a relationship. Physical abuse is an assumed agreement, that that's unacceptable. And yet down the line, there might be a case of verbal abuse, but nobody's calling it out. And then it gets into an agreed, assumed. Anyway, we'll move on. So that's what I was talking about in the first part of the show, is the three different types of agreements that we can make. And I'm sure there's more. Those are just the three that I'm hitting on today. Right before I went to break, what I was asking you is, if you are in a relationship, and I'm going to take it a little bit further, even if you're single and you think about repetitive problems that you've had in relationships, and what I would encourage you to really focus on is how you felt about you and also about the relationship, or how, and if it's a present relationship for you, how you feel about that relationship every day. You know, when you think about that partner, are you feeling excited, or is there always like a hindering hesitation in the background? Does not mean that there's not progress to be made if there's something hanging in the background. It's just simply a question. Do you have some of that? And if you do, then there's likely an agreement that, or a lack of agreement that needs to be spoken about. You know, I love it when I get inspired. And as I shared in the first part of the show, there's a coaching couple right now that's really inspiring me and kind of got me on this talk of agreements. I also shared that I'm traveling right now. I'm out of state from my hometown. And anyway, so we're on the road and we're visiting. We're in Colorado at one point. Now we're in Nebraska. But, you know, we're in Colorado. We're in the Durango area, my husband and I. That was the other reason for the inspiration for the show. I love my relationship with my husband. It is very dear to my heart. We've come a long way. We've been together 14 years. It's like marriage number three for him, marriage number two for me, five kids between us. I mean, we have been through some discussions about agreements, and I give to you the rehabbed portion of that, not the ugly. Between that and in my own experience with coaching and working with others, I mean, that's kind of what brings this show. So we're on this fantastic vacation. We stop in Durango, Colorado. We're in a coffee shop because although we're sober, we love our coffee. And I come across this book. I'm going to switch over to make sure you guys can see it. So I'm talking, I had already scheduled the show and what I was going to talk on. And I look over on the bookshelf, and this is where I just love the way the universe gives back to me. And I see this book, and I love to give credit where it is due. And these three doctors, Linda Anderson, Sonia Banks, and I think that says Michelle Owens, are talking about silent agreements and how to free your relationships of unspoken expectations. How powerful is that? So when I start getting inspired to talk about, you know, all these different types of things, this book right here is an excellent reference tool. And so I like to show that to you in case this is something that you would be interested in reading to help in yourself along. And I don't like taking credit or saying this is all, you know, natural. I believe anything and everything that we give back to others has been downloaded to us, either through life experience or education. And we're just simply here to give that back. Okay, having said all of that, so how do we get into agreements in the first place? A lot of times, you know, if we're hitting a bump in the relationship or we're experiencing some level of dissatisfaction, and it doesn't matter if it's in the beginning of the relationship or if it's in the mid or in the end, a lot of times what's happened is we are bringing our, and most of you know this, we're bringing our past experiences or our past, you know, childhood experiences all to the table of this relationship. And that is also why, you know, whether or not the question before the break was, are there any agreements that you think you're making on a silent level with your partner that hasn't been talked about? And the reason why this can be challenging for some people to acknowledge is because it's a habit. It's an agreement habit. We don't even realize that we're doing it. We've been carrying this agreement around with us for years. Sometimes we're wondering, why is this not working? You know, I was talking to another person I work with, and she was saying just yesterday on the phone, she said, you know, I need a spouse who's going to not be a doormat. You know, I need someone who's going to stand up, because the person I was talking to is a very powerful woman. And when I say powerful, I mean, she's decisive. She's got a lot of energy. She likes to move forward in life. And so she was just stating how important it was for her to have a partner who is also like that. So there's an agreement between the couple as far as how one wants to be treated and how the other one shows up. And so they openly communicate and have this satisfying experience with one another, but they're bringing that into the relationship. Sometimes when we're bringing into the relationship, we don't even realize unspoken toxic agreements that we've made. The clue to that, if you want to know if you've got one going on, there is a topic with your partner that you are feeling unhappy about, but you're not talking about it. You're avoiding it. And there's all these reasons why you're avoiding it. I was sharing with my daughter the other day. She had a challenging situation come up for her, and she was afraid to address it with the individual. And what I told her is what I'm going to share with you is, when we're communicating with other people, whether it's our spouse, our bosses, our friends, it's really important to find our voice in that. It's not necessarily always, in fact, I would say 99% of the time, it's not about how they answer that communication. It's about how we or you have a voice in making sure that we are clearly communicating how something affects us, or how something impacts us, or how something makes us feel. And so when we're in relationships, if we're not doing that, then we got all kinds of silent agreements going on. And as that book I just held up for you, there's silent expectations. You know, does the person know exactly how often this thing is bothering you? Have you given them a chance in order to correct the behavior, or to address, or even have a say in what you're experiencing? Like, for example, for whatever reason in my life, probably based on my background, I often experience individuals in my life who are coming from a world of addiction and recovery. It's just funny, you know, either I will totally not even talk about my background. Someone will get in communication with me and somebody close to them is impacted by it. There's a emotion around it. They're asking questions of, like, it just comes up. It's no surprise to me anymore that happens. So in the book that I was referencing, she gives a couple different examples of how we might be avoiding communication. And one of them is where there might be a silent agreement where someone is saying, your drinking bothers me, but I know it's your deal, so I don't say anything. So therefore, you don't address the uncomfortableness that the drinking is causing. And so there's the person who's not addressing the drinking, because trust me, there's drinking going on in that relationship, and it's bothering somebody, like active drinking, and it's bothering somebody. There's either a history of alcoholism and addiction from either side of the party that's coming into the relationship that's impacting it, because it'll impact you differently if you've been affected by it, either in your early years as a child or a prior spouse was an addict or an alcoholic. It impacts the relationship. It impacts it so much with alcoholism and addiction that the person usually who's feeling negatively about it, the majority, like it's not fair. This is not fair to me. Your drinking or your using is impacting me, and it's not fair. They also tend to be silent on it. There's an agreement going on in the couple. The one who's actively drinking or abusing or doing whatever has an agreement that we just don't talk about this. I'm just going to keep holding this behavior. I'm just going to keep behaving like this, because if we talk about it, I'm going to have to do something about it. And any addict or alcoholic knows we don't want to do anything about it when we're in cups. That's just the way that rolls. Selfish, self-centered, we know the role. Where the other person who's being impacted by it also doesn't address it, because they might have false stories they're telling themselves that if I talk about it, they might go away. Maybe the addict or the alcoholic is the moneymaker in the family. Or if I talk about it, the kids aren't going to have another parent raising them and I'm going to be left on my own. Or if I talk about it, why should I have to talk about it? It's not my problem. So there's a silent agreement that's going on between the parties that they're not even aware of. And it's tearing the essence of the energy and the love possibility out of the relationship. So the individual growth of each partner is unable to move forward because they are each held by this toxic silent agreement that's going on. We don't want to talk about it, right? Another example would be partners coming home late. It's out of the routine, but they keep coming home late. One partner starts to think, you're cheating on me. The other partner knows their behavior is unacceptable, but they keep doing it anyway. Maybe they are cheating. I don't know. One partner, so here's the silent agreement. The partner who continues to come home late and never wants to talk about it or give reasons where they've been or given the respect to the, you know, anything like that. That silent agreement they're making is, well, if I talk about this and I have to come truthful with this, the relationship may end or I may hurt the other person. I don't want to, you know, the stories that we'll tell ourselves, right? Where the person who's tolerating the person coming home late is also afraid to address it. So they just stay quiet for fear of what if they're wrong? What if they're not cheating? And now I accuse them of that. And so now you've got this dynamic that on a day-to-day basis is impacting the relationship and nobody's talking about it. So we have an agreement. It's a silent agreement that we're not going to talk about this, but it's really ripping this relationship apart. And it's day in and it's day out. You know, I just, you know, in the high performance coaching that I do, there's a whole section on courage and the courage that it takes to communicate. I think that's why the couple that I'm working with right now is so inspiring to me, because it takes so much courage to talk about these type of things, because both parties have to be willing to go to the mat to talk about it. Another silent, here's a good one. Here's a... My husband, I think he cringes when I talk to him about, you know, women as we get older and we go through hormonal changes and, you know, the hormones just go, they go down. Trust me, the sex drive might change. And also trust me, there's all kinds of remedies and things for that today for us. However, when the sex life changes, the agreement, you know, we no longer have sex. Like, just say it's a sexless marriage. It's a sexless relationship. Remember how I said in the beginning, everybody's on fire to have this fantastic sex life. But then as we age, or especially if you're getting in a relationship older in years. So, you know, women, you know, we're perimenopausal, anywhere from, what is it? Some women, we go through it real early, but let's just say late 30s all the way up, right? And men have their own things that go on, but I'm just going to say it like it is. It's not quite to the level that us ladies will experience it. A lot of things change physiologically. And so is that being talked about? Because the relationship sexually can be severely impacted by that, which means that just because and I'm just going to go man, woman, okay? I have no business talking about woman, woman, or man, man relationships. So I stick to what I know. So let's go man, woman. And the relationship starts to become less and less sex. The woman's going through her own changes. The body's not turned on like it used to be. The body is pudgy in areas that never used to be pudgy. You know, you eat a French fry, you gain 20 pounds. It wasn't like that a year ago. I mean, it's really quite fascinating. I'm kind of in it right now. But it's not being talked about. And so we no longer have sex and our sex life is practically non-existent. We don't talk about it because maybe one might have to admit my body has changed and I don't know what to do about it. Number two, you might have to admit you are insecure. So this is coming from the male perspective. You might have to admit that you're insecure about your performance and that you think that this is all your fault. And so you've got two grown adults who are really, they want to experience a beautiful love life and a beautiful sex life. However, there's been a lot of changes. And so now that they have a sexless relationship, but they're not talking about it. So there's a silent agreement that we just don't talk about this. We just don't talk about it. It's too uncomfortable. We don't know what the right words are. And so we literally block ourselves off from having a beautiful relationship with the other person because we don't know how to get there together to talk about something that is so important. I mean, we got 5 senses. Hopefully I can name them all right now. See, hear, taste, feel, hear. They say it. There's another one. Anyway, feel is a big one. Being able to touch the sensuality of another person and having that in our lives. And the definition of sex is another agreement that needs to be made. It might be different as we get older. So, but those are the type of agreements that either have become silent agreements in the relationship that we weren't planning on, but now they're alive and well, and they're living, and we don't talk about it, and we're wondering why we're miserable. So we got that. Okay, so those are some of the silent agreements that we can come across. And so if you're wanting more on that, some of those examples, I paraphrase a little bit, but are coming from that book that I just talked about. So how do you begin to reframe your relationship? You know, I really love the word reframe. I came across that. Somebody brought me that word. It's trendy right now because, you know, I love law of attraction stuff, but once you start seeing it, it just starts coming. And to reframe the relationship. So let's say that you've been in a relationship with someone for a while and you're wondering, how do I reframe the relationship? Well, first of all, it's not how you reframe it. It's how do we reframe the relationship? First and foremost, I think it's important that each person, that somebody brings it to the table. Do you ever have a relationship, or maybe you're in a current relationship where one complements the other, and honor that about one another, honor how each of you emotionally respond. And this part of the show, I really want to engage on. So when's the last time you sat down with your partner and you figured what the possibilities were for each other and for the relationship? You know, I had a woman one time, she was talking to me about her daughter. And a different culture, this family, and she had a different belief system and different values. And she was sharing with me how she had 2 daughters, and the one daughter was highly engaged in activities, highly engaged in school, high performer, all that good stuff. The other daughter was just like, hey, I'll be home when I want to be home, you know. The school was calling, the mom couldn't figure out why her performance was slipping, right? So one daughter's like expressing her independence, the other daughter's just in her world and where she's flowing and she's good. And the mom was like really caught up about this. And she was talking, and she didn't know what to do because she found out what I did for a living. And so finally I came in and I just said, are you spending more time encouraging your daughter or criticizing your daughter? Are you spending more time criticizing your partner or praising your partner? Are you seeing your partner through the eyes of wonderful and love and enthusiasm? Or are you constantly seeing where your partner doesn't get it right? When you see your partner and they come home for the day, are you wondering what the next move is that they're going to make that's going to irritate the hell out of you? Or are you welcoming them? Have you become responsible for your part in that relationship as far as how welcoming, inviting, and loving that you are? Have you become critical in your relationship to the point where there is no satisfaction on a daily basis almost, and you are bringing that to the relationship, yet you are blaming the other person for your dissatisfaction? Those are the core questions that, you know, when we start really looking at the relationship goals. What are you both wanting to accomplish in this relationship? Are you wanting everything that life can bring you? Have you asked yourselves together as a team, what can we do to better this lifestyle that we have? I've shared this many times on the show. We come into a relationship with another person in hopes that everything we choose to do, by the way, and so that we feel better as a result of doing it. You've probably also heard that said or had heard me say it, But everything we choose to do, we choose to do it to feel better. Just think about it. Everything you do in an effort to feel better. I don't care if it's you drink, you smoke, you drink coffee like me, decide to go out and do a podcast. Maybe you're posting to TikTok. Maybe you're cleaning up the house. Everything you do is to feel better. Yet for some reason, we can have a tendency to get into a relationship and forget that. So instead of as a team coming together as two confident adults who were in love in the beginning or who have decided to date for a period of time, to come together and acknowledge as a team, what can we do to raise us to the next level? We as human beings can have a tendency to sit back and say to ourselves, what is this other person not doing well enough for me? Or how could they ever look at it that way? And if we're not careful, because I'm not saying it's not natural to go there. Trust me, I told you, you're getting the rehabbed version of my husband and myself and our 14 years of growing together. But I will tell you this, if you are doing that and it has gone to the point past the expiration date, like it's a habit of thinking, it will be a challenge. And so those agreements that you've made have to be refurbished. They have to be brought up. And together as a team, there must be an effort to come together and say, hey, you know, if we're in this together, if we're living, like if we got an agreement that we're not, okay, here's a tool for you. I'm gonna back up before I go here. Here's a tool for you. If you are living in fight or flight in your relationship, trust me, if one of you are living in fight or flight, both of you are living in it. You're not talking about it, but you're living in it, which means on a regular basis, you're wondering, should I stay or should I go? Should I stay or should I go? If they don't stop this behavior, maybe I need to go. And it's usually a behavior, right? It's a behavior that's testing us as the person, right? So should I stay or should I go? That's okay. Here's the tool. You want a tool today? If you're in fight or flight in your relationship, here's the tool. If you are not leaving that relationship in this moment, if you are not exiting right now, when you have that thought, if you can immediately follow up the thought and say, am I leaving today? And if the answer that comes back to you is no, because you're going to know, either you're packing those bags or you're sending the text message or you're doing something to leave. But if that answer is no, I'm not leaving, then knock it off. Just knock it off. There's no sense in doing fight or flight. There's not. You just got emotionally hijacked. You're just emotionally hijacked for the moment. Let it go. If the answer is no, I'm not leaving today, then drop it. All right. So now where was I? I'm almost a break. I might have to take a break. Okay. So as a team, you're coming together and you're saying to one another, what do we want to do together to make a new agreement on where we are at as a couple so that we can enhance our experience together moving forward? What do we want to do? How do we want to play together? How do we want to enjoy life? How do we... And sometimes it might even be to the point, if you're reaching out for therapy or anything like that, it might be the point where you feel that there's no hope for this relationship. Trust me, all people want to have fun. They really do. So as a partnership, how can we come in as a team and enliven this experience together? And at the beginning of that conversation, it's going to come down to, what are our agreements as a couple? Things do not need to be horrible to set new agreements in your relationship. They don't. You don't need to be tolerating one another. Things do not have to be drastic for you to set new agreements. If you just want to heighten, you want more of a fantastic relationship, you want more great sex, you want more of these things, set a new agreement, set a new relationship goal. Okay, so having said that, we're going to be back here shortly, and I'm going to be wrapping up the show. Talking more about that team stuff, talking more about new agreements, shooting through the sky, go for it, limitless. All right, we will be back soon. This is the Know You're Crazy Show, and I am Susan Denae.
Thank there is divinity within you. Join Lisa Belts on her show, The Unshakable Living Show, Supernaturally and Divinely Unshakable, twice a month, and find that divinity that you deserve. Lisa will help you feel encouraged, empowered, and realize that you're not alone on your journey. With Lisa, address the foundation, the frame, and the finish of your dreams and become truly unshakable.
Tune into Hungry for Answers every first and third Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com with me, Robin Clare. I am a recovery coach, professional, and best-selling author, bringing you eye-opening conversations about addiction and groundbreaking tools for recovery. To learn about me and my offerings, visit clarity.com. That's Claire, Clare-ity.com.
Day-to-day living can be difficult in our world today. Most of us don't know how to live a peaceful, joy-filled existence. Learn how to break through these barriers and live a transformative life on Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa, every day living in peace, every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To work with Dr. Lisa, visit EducationThroughEngagement.com.
Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martinet.
Too many people go too long forgetting their true soul purpose. Join me, Gina Gale Gray, every fourth Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific in Savvy Solutions. Take the journey back to me with a freedom coach and oracle on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Find your soul oceans now in my show. Learn how you can release the wall around your heart and follow your emotional being back to connection and compassion. Visit anywheremindbodysoul.com.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Know Your Crazy Talk Show. My name is Susan Dene, and I am talking about, I'm always talking about emotional recovery in the raw. Today we're talking about love agreements, having a fantastic relationship with your partner. If it's not so fantastic, where do you start in order to make it fantastic, and all of the above. One of the things I highlighted, I don't know if it was last segment or the first segment, was the importance of understanding how each of you process emotional situations, or just situations, how you process. I mean, sometimes you've got one who's overly optimistic. Sometimes you've got one who's overly analytic. I don't think there's a pro or con in either category. I think it's just the way it is. My husband and I, so we're on vacation right now, which is why I'm doing this from a hotel room. And we're in Colorado. And anybody who's been in the Rocky Mountains, we were in Estes Park. Okay, we're got a motorcycle, we're pulling it behind the car. Here's the agreement that we had to come to. Okay, he's like a squirrel. I mean, he is Mr. Playful. He's just loving life. This man is almost 60, and he's hanging his body half out the passenger side of the car window. As we're going through, if anybody's been in Estes Park in the Rocky National Park, oh my goodness, it's like drop off. He's, hanging out the window, like just engaging in the fresh air and the high altitude. I'm driving like a nervous wreck. So why is that the agreement? Because when he drives, it's like, oh, look over there. Oh, what's over here? And I'm about ready to pull my hair out. I think we're going to drive off a mountain. So the only time he gets to drive is when he's on the Harley and I'm catching a ride on the back. But we have an agreement, and that agreement has to be respected, and we're both happy with the agreement. He did ask me, can I drive? And I said, no, you can't drive. We got this agreement. But that, it may sound, kind of silly, but at the end of the day, both of our comfort level had to be achieved, because remember when I was wrapping up the last segment, coming together to have agreements that allow the relationship to flourish is highly important. I saw a great sign on the side of the road when we were leaving Estes yesterday, and it was a cabin. The rivers were just beautiful. And it was a little cabin, and it said, bend a little. I thought, how important is that in a relationship? Bend a little. We have to remember to bend a little in relationships. A lot of relationships, successful relationships, have come down to healthy negotiation. It's not a threat. It's a healthy collaboration with both partners, because there's an understanding that if we can collaborate and we can come together as a team, and we can remember that the purpose of this love relationship is to better both our individual lives, then we bend a little and we work with one another. Not everything in my marriage would necessarily go my way, but I only have to bend a little in order to make it work for both of us, because he does the same thing. And there's a mutual respect of that going on. And it took a lot of communication and bumps and things to get there. But when both partners are willing, and they know that if they go into fight or flight, that as long as they've got the willingness to say, I'm not leaving today, that there's a chance, and you just throw the fight or flight out the window and don't worry yourself about it. Because, you know, it's if you're not leaving today, there's no sense in doing fight or flight. You're just future tripping, right? Okay, so recognizing and honoring that you are both in this relationship together, you have nothing but benefit to come to you if you can come to some agreements that are going to work. Agreements can be flexible. And what I mean by that, that might sound kind of funny to somebody who's saying, you know, if you break agreements. I was listening to somebody recently, actually, that was talking about, you know, the habits of breaking agreements and how toxic that can be. I like to say, as I was talking working with this couple recently, you're both grown adults, right? Like it's about coming together as a couple and asking yourselves, is this agreement still working for us? The agreements in the beginning of a relationship may change over time, because if both of you are doing a fantastic job of encouraging one another to grow, things are going to change. Things are going to change, and that's a good thing. So coming back to the table and saying, are there new agreements that we need to make with one another about these topics? Okay, so I want to wrap up the show to give a few tools. So I'm going to shift gears a little bit. So where do you start with healthy agreements in a love life? What are a couple easy things that you can do to kind of test the waters and also honor the agreements that you already have that are really working in the relationships? First of all, take baby steps with this. And by baby steps, what I mean is take a look at, sorry, I'm trying to see how much time I've got left real quick. The baby steps that you may be taking, just lost my place. Oh, for example, who's doing the dishes? Is there an agreement about who does the dishes? I mean, there probably is, right? Is there an agreement about who's doing the laundry? I mean, you know, is there an agreement? And because usually those small, they seem like small stuff, but actually they're quite significant. You know what I mean? I mean, it's day in and day out living together. But there are also baby steps in where can we have an opportunity to practice some new agreements. Take a look at those things and ask yourself, do we have a happy agreement around doing the dishes or doing the laundry? And I'm not saying that there's not some flexibility that has to be involved, but there are agreements that you're already making in the relationship. If you're in the relationship and you haven't left yet, then there are some successful agreements. I encourage you to find those successful agreements and honor them and acknowledge it. You know, it's like when I was asking you the questions, are you encouraging the relationship? Or are you constantly dissecting the relationship? When you see your partner do something that you don't agree with, are you constantly in a negative mind state and ghosting it, you know, like kind of, oh, it's just this, but it's always coming around, things like that. So if you've got agreements that are working in the relationship, honor them. If you're having a hard time figuring out what agreements have worked for us and which ones are, you know, working now, or think in the beginning of the relationship. Think about when you two have fun together. And if you haven't been having fun together for a while, think about what you used to do to have fun together and what type of agreements were at the table that were making that possible for you. I'm going to start wrapping up with some of these thoughts. So one of the cool things about a recent experience with a pair that I was working with was the honesty in which they brought to the table some things that really were deal breakers. If you've been watching my show for a while, I did a whole episode on deal breakers. You can find it. It's probably on my YouTube channel. But there was a conversation about deal breakers that really needed to be talked about what someone was willing or not willing to do around certain belief systems. And it was really powerful, and it was said in a respectful way, and it was in a dignified way to the other person. And then the other person got to acknowledge how they felt about that, and maybe did they have to acknowledge some of their own hindrances around this thing that they were talking about. And the one partner came to a session one day and said, "I don't even know. I almost didn't come today. Like, I almost didn't. I didn't want to be here today." And they said, "But I'm paying you. And I didn't know if I'd get my money back." And I chuckled and I said, "That's why coaching costs money. Because when you want to get out of it or you don't want to do the work, sometimes you're on the hook for an agreement you made. And you got to hold to that agreement. And if you hold on long enough, the fruit will be there. I guarantee it." So for today, ask yourself, what successful agreements do you have in your relationship? How would you like to enhance your experience together? Does it need enhancement? Do you have silent agreements that are being made that you've made that you're not talking about? Is your partner aware of silent agreements? Is it time to refurbish the relationship and enhance it to new levels? Because I got to tell you, you're both going to benefit wonderfully if you figure it out and go to the mat and talk about it. And by all means, if I can be of service, feel free to reach out to me on my website. I'd be more than happy to talk to you about helping your relationship out. Having said that, it is a Know You're Crazy fantastic day. And it's a beautiful day in Nebraska. I'm glad I'm here. Glad I was able to be with you folks today. Have a fantastic evening. See you next week. Have a good one.
You have been listening to Know You're Crazy.
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 And my name is Susan Dene. We are identifying, understanding, and treating your crazy one episode at a time. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com. To connect with me or Growth Spurt Your Life, please visit SusanDene.com. That's Susan Dene, DENEE.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.